This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
The Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre presents Well, Well, Well on Joy, the show that's all about sex, health and well-being.
Joy, joy, joy.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Well, Well, Well show, brought to you live every Tuesday from midday. I am Murray and my co-hosts today are Adam and Jesse. We want to thank Ellie for the news and the lovely Gazman for the morning show. How are we, guys?
I'm pretty good.
I'm really good,
Murray. Except for this weather.
It's chilly.
I like it. It's nice and cool. You're not sweating up in yourself, you know.
I've got no problems with it being cool, but I want warning that it's going to be cool because I was told it was going to be hot and it's cold.
Who Melbourne told you that?
The weather person last night.
Because you guys are mates.
Yeah, we are.
Well, hopefully everybody is listening from a very warm space at the moment.
Yes, and if they're not outside, hopefully they've got heating inside. I don't think we're ready for heating.
No.
What do you think?
Not just yet. And how are you, Murray?
I'm good. It was a bumper weekend for the Victorian AIDS Council. We had our big annual trivia night.
Yes.
How did it go?
It went really well.
Did you win?
I was part of the organising, so I was running around
with its
head cut off, doing everything. But it was a great night. We had a lot of people attend. The photos are now out in MCV, so check them out.
Mm, nice.
Yep, very nice. And we had a White Night event. The Victorian AIDS Council had a presence at White Night.
That's right.
Which was also very successful.
Yeah, they were selling some little goodies at Flinders Street Station, weren't they?
They were.
Yeah, apparently that went really well.
What about you two? Did you work?
I went to the symphony.
You went to the symphony? Lovely.
I worked all weekend, I did. But,
did you really? No, not for us.
Yeah, no, not for you guys. It was just doing a bit of White Night stuff, doing a bit of Werribee Polo stuff. So
nice.
Yeah, busy weekend.
Very nice. Well, look, here at Well, 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 we talk about, despite the topics that we've just spoken about then, we actually talk about all things that relate to the GLBTI community. So we're all about sex, health and well-being. So in relation to that, what's on the show today?
So today we'll be talking about taking care of yourself and looking after your well-being for those planning on travelling up to Mardi Gras next weekend.
I'm going.
I think it's going to be hectic, isn't it? You going up, Adam?
No, I'm not.
I know quite a few people that we're working with are going up, so it's going to be pretty fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
So we just want to make sure that the annual migration of Melburnians to Sydney for the massive event are well looked after. So we'll be talking a little bit about the A-test, accessing PEP in New South Wales, in New South Wales, and Fair Play.
Which are all very interesting topics, and obviously if you're not heading up to Mardi Gras and you may be going to Chill Out or you may be going to some other events,
Maitreya.
All of the stuff that we'll be talking about today will be relevant, so stay tuned. Adam, if people want to get involved in the conversation, I know there's a plethora of ways, but how can they do it?
You actually just stole my thunder because I was going to say plethora of ways, literally just for Texas. So you can like us obviously via facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, or actually we'd really like you to give us a call on 1300JOY949 to speak to a real life person, or to actually contact us directly in the studio, send an email to onair@joy.org.au, or you can send a mess to 0427 joy 949. Thanks, Kim. No worries, Kim. Yeah, Kim. Oh, you can even tweet us at wellwellwelljoy. But so stay tuned. And if you want to get involved and tell us a little bit about one of the stories you've had at Mardi Gras, or about actually if you've been to A-Test before, we'd love to hear it. So get involved with the conversation, guys.
But right now we're going to play a song. This takes us back to the 90s. It's Sexy Eyes by Wickfield.
And Murray admitted off-air that he had the album.
Shut your face. This is Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email onair@joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're joined with Murray, Jesse and Adam. And right now we have our special news segment.
Ha!
Love that.
Hard-hitting news. Adam, do you want to explain what this segment is about?
Yeah, so last week when Tex and I were on, we were sort of reminiscing about when we used to have our Thursday night show and the fact that every week we would cover another or a new news article that we'd come across that we found was really interesting and was really applicable to the work that we do at the Victorian AIDS Council and also to the wider GLBTI community. So we thought we might actually try and bring that back every now and then if there's something of interest that comes across our desks. So we usually go to AIDSMAP.com because that has a lot of worldwide information about various research projects, various clinical trials, and it's not just about HIV, but it's about hep C or co-infection or meningitis or anything that's a bloodborne virus or an infectious disease. Mm. So it's really, really interesting and it's really, really useful and it's just written in such easily plain language.
It is really easy language, which is great. So this week's article is titled HIV Testing Continues to Rise in UK Gay Men But Safer Sex Knowledge Drops. And so this came out of a 2014 Gay Men's Sex Survey in the UK, which was compared with the results from their 2010 survey.
Yeah, and I guess just to put it into context, obviously, if you come along to Carnival Day, you'll fill out the Gay Community Periodic Survey. So this is relatively the same type of survey that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. But the comparison, obviously, between London and us is there's a lot more people in London. So in the 2010 survey, they had roughly about 12,000 guys. And in the 2014 survey, they roughly had about 7,000 people. So they were kind of looking at, I guess, the differences in relation to testing behaviours and safe sex levels of knowledge and health literacy and things around like that. And they found some really interesting, I guess, differences. So the proportion that had ever taken a HIV test rose from 72% in 2010 to 77%. So they're obviously really high frequent testers if you've tested in the past 12 months. But the biggest changes were in how recently the test had been taken. So across the sample, the proportion that had tested for HIV in the past year jumped from 43% to 56%. So that's about 50-50, which is actually pretty good.
And one of the things it also spoke about or sort of discovered was whilst there was a strong focus on campaigns around testing, which, as you've mentioned, Adam, has resulted in a lot more men taking the test, it also showed a decrease in the basic knowledge of safer sex and poorer access to condoms.
Yeah, that's really interesting because
interesting.
I think it's pointing towards the fact that maybe we're focusing too much on the testing message and we're not bringing
and forgetting some of the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Maybe we take it for granted that people actually still do need to be continually educated and that it's not just the testing message we need to bring across. Maybe the simple health message. Make sure people actually understand the background of why you're testing, what's actually going on there. You know, it's not just a free ticket. Yep, going to the doctor, I'm tested, that's fine. The other interesting thing is about access to condoms. I wonder what's going on there.
Look, if anyone out there locally is worrying about where they're going to get a condom, come on down to the Victorian AIDS Council because we've got buckets of them.
No, literally, buckets.
Literally.
Post-buckets.
I guess in terms of the safer sex knowledge, I guess the more worrying sort of gaps in knowledge were changes around more men did not know that sexually transmitted infections increase the risk of actually acquiring HIV. And that being the top, you can actually acquire HIV during anal sex, or that HIV cannot be passed on during kissing. Now, the fact that that last point is still a matter of course.
It's alarming.
Is really alarming.
It's crazy.
Especially when you consider that there were more men who were more accurate about what the window period is in relation to HIV testing in comparison to the fact, oh, I can get HIV from kissing someone.
It shows the focus is sort of...
It's 2015, So obviously this is really alarming and, as it points out in the article, a reason to really sort of get behind increasing health literacy level knowledge around HIV.
Yeah, definitely gives us some good information of the directions that we should be taking as well.
Well, that's in London, so, you know.
When do the results come out for this one?
Yeah, it's worth thinking about.
Well, the difference is in the Gay Community Periodic Survey, we don't really ask about perceptions of behaviour or about transmission risks. We actually ask about behaviour in itself.
Right.
So there are a range of other different research projects in which we sort of gauge what gay men are thinking. So there was the Pleasure and Sexual Health Study, the Health and Men Cohort, and a range of other little research projects that we can sort of extrapolate from, but nothing on such a wide scale as this.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that new segment. That'll be back next week. But right now we're going to play Freedom by Wham. All the songs are my type of song. This is Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're joined with Murray, Adam and Jesse. And today we're talking about Mardi Gras, an annual migration of Melburnians up to New South Wales. On today's show, we want to make sure that you're looked after when you head up to Sydney.
Spot on, Mario. Just going to try a new name.
Mario.
So we've decided to make sure anyone travelling to Sydney for the parade and parties over the long weekend is looked after and kind of knows where to get help and exactly the type of things and resources that are available to them. So right on the line with us today is James Gray from ACON. Welcome, James. How are you?
I'm very welcome. Thanks for having me.
We do that for all our guests, James.
So, I'm not special then.
No, you are.
James, so can you tell us a little bit about where you work and what your role is at ACON?
Sure. I work at ACON in New South Wales, which is a sister organisation of the Victorian AIDS Council. We focus on HIV as well as the broader LGBTI health issues. And I manage the gay men sexual health programs.
And so, obviously, one of the reasons that we've got to bring you on today is to talk about ATEST. So, people might be familiar in Melbourne with our rapid testing service down here called Pronto. So, what kind of rapid testing services will be in place during Mardi Gras? And can you tell us a little bit about ATEST in itself?
Sure. So ATEST has been around for about 18 months now, and ACON works in partnership with a number of sexual health clinics, and we operate four different services in Sydney. And we've just opened our biggest service on Oxford Street. It operates 6 days a week, and will actually be open on the Mardi Gras Saturday from 11:30 to 2:30.
So that's not a pop-up, James. That's actually you've opened up for good?
That's right. Yeah,
yeah,
so,
great.
Last year we did a temporary pop-up for 6 weeks over the Mardi Gras period. Mm. And that was sort of like a proof of concept. It was really, really successful. So we've created a permanent site on Oxford Street now.
Well, Oxford Street, prime location.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So can you, because we were curious during the break, ATEST, does the A stand for anything or is it literally ATEST?
Look, in terms of the branding, we just thought it was a kind of cool and funky name.
I think it does
also relate to ACON as well, and we use the same sort of font as well. So just, I suppose, connecting it to the organisation more broadly.
Fantastic. Now, you said that there will be rapid HIV testing. Will there be STI tests as well available?
Yes, so we offer full sexual health screenings in addition to the HIV test. So that's the same as what you typically get if you went to a sexual health clinic. The entire appointment takes about 30 minutes, and that includes getting the result of your rapid test, and then you get your STI results about a week later.
And so what is the access protocol? I mean, do you have to ring to make an appointment? Obviously now you've got an actual shop front that's just not a pop-up. So do people have to make an appointment over the Mardi Gras period, or are you taking walk-ins, or what's the process?
It's a really good idea to make an appointment. Obviously we've only just opened yesterday, so we don't know exactly how busy it is. So it's a really good idea to make an appointment, which you can do on our website. But we are also taking walk-ins whenever we can. So if you are just coming past, you can just pop in and say hi, and we'll do our best to fit you in.
Fantastic. And so what would happen if it returns positive? Can you just sort of take us through that process?
Sure. So for rapid tests, it's actually called a reactive result. So this means that result still has to be confirmed by a standard lab test before a diagnosis has been made. Having said that, these tests are very accurate, so you can take a high degree of confidence from the result. So when we give a reactive result, we spend how the client needs and have a chat about what this result actually means for them, when they can expect that confirmatory result, and basically just answer any questions that they have. We do also have counsellors available if they would like to take that option as well. And everyone reacts differently to hearing that news. For some, it's big shock and very unexpected, whereas for some people, they might have had a bit of a suspicion that they may have had HIV. Either way, in that kind of moment right there and then, it is still a big deal, and our priority is to give them whatever support they require.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. And we'll be back very shortly to continue the discussion about Mardi Gras and testing.
But James, if you could sit tight, we've got a treat for you. We're going to play Oops, I Did It Again by Britney Spears, and everyone loves that song.
Everyone loves this song. Even I know the song.
So sit tight. We'll be back with James after this.
Thanks for listening. This is Well, Well, Well.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm Murray. I'm joined in the studio with my lovely co-hosts, Adam and Jesse.
Aww.
And the lovely James from Akon, who... Are you still there, James?
I absolutely am.
And great. Were you doing the dance moves to Britney's Oops, I Did It Again? We were.
Of course I wasn't.
Of course.
Standing in an office by myself.
What a stupid question of me.
Everybody
of course you were.
I know, we all were. I'm sure all our listeners were too as well. So, James, could you please recap the rapid testing process in Sydney for us? Like, let us know what's going on with the A test and maybe highlight any differences between the tests we use in Pronto. Like, is it a finger prick test or is it a mouth swab or what's happening?
Sure. So on the recap, we've got four services called A-Test in Sydney. We've just opened our big brand new service on Oxford Street, which is going to be open 6 days a week, including evenings.
Great.
In terms of the test that we use, it is a finger prick test. I'm pretty sure it'll be the same one that's used out at Pronto. So it's very simple. You just collect a little drop of blood, and then the test itself takes about 20 minutes to run. In terms of differences, there are actually a number of community-based rapid testing sites in operation around Australia at the moment, and something that's really grown over the last few years. And we've all developed the services in slightly different ways, just depending on our community needs and the partnerships that we have available. So I think one of the big differences is that we've been able to partner very closely with sexual health clinics, and that means that we've got nurses on site at all times, and they handle a lot of the lab work and follow-up work, which is really fantastic for us, and that allows us to just focus on providing a really good peer-based experience in actually providing the rapid test itself.
Okay, great.
And so obviously you said that you've got four locations, with Oxford Street being the latest addition. So do crowd numbers impact on service delivery at such a busy events period? So obviously the success of having a pop-up store last year was, I guess, a sufficient reason to have a full-time place on Oxford Street. But what about the other locations?
Well, last year what we actually found in doing the pop-up was that a lot of people just kind of came to that one. We actually closed one of our other services nearby last year, which we are not doing this time. We're keeping them all open at the same time. But over that 6 weeks, we did nearly 600 tests.
Wow.
A huge number, a lot more than we would have expected. So it kind of did really show that Mardi Gras is that period of really peak community engagement. Everyone's out and about having a great time. And obviously we have a lot of sort of campaign messaging around at the same time, including around testing. So I think all of that together really gets testing up to the forefront of people's minds.
And do you think that during the parade and party season that there's an increase in high-risk behaviour, or is it just because there's more people, therefore, unfortunately, there will be, I guess, more people engaging in risk?
I'm not sure that people's behaviour will necessarily change, but there's certainly going to be a lot more people in town sort of making a lot of new friends.
That's a nice way to put it.
PC way to say it.
Yeah, very polite. It's very important to look after yourself and your sexual partners over the Mardi Gras festivities. So, you know, at all the major parties, there'll be free condoms and lubes, lube, and Akon has a sort of outreach program called the Akon Tradies. So they're guys that are at the big parties in high-vis vests with tool belts, and they're also there to hand out safe sex packs and talk about our campaigns as well.
Well, listen, we've got a few messages which ties into our discussion with you, James. We've got Tom from Brunswick. Bring on Mardi Gras. Stay safe, boys. Craig from Yarraville says he's heading up to Mardi Gras and can't wait to party. But Brett from Fitzroy wants to know about access to PEP. Can you tell us about access to PEP in Sydney for people that will be there?
Sure. So PEP's available from all emergency departments as well as from sexual health clinics. So if you do need to access PEP on a weekend, the sexual health clinics probably won't be open, so the hospital is your best bet. But if you do think that you need to access it, the easiest thing to do is to call the PEP hotline, which is 1-800-737-669, or just think 1-800-PEP-NOW, and they're then able to provide you with local information on where the best place is to access PEP.
What was that? Was it 1-800-PEP-NOW?
Yep. test now. So, yep, 737669.
Great.
And so is there evidence to suggest that there's an increased access to PEP during Mardi Gras? Do you know? Or?
I'm not aware of an increase in usage, but I certainly wouldn't be surprised if that is the case. Just given the larger number of people that are in town and active around that time. But the most important thing to remember is always to just act quickly. Although you have 72 hours to access it, sooner is better. So
absolutely.
If you think you need to do it, I'd give that hotline a call.
And just out of curiosity, James, is PEP restricted to Australians only? Because we know that we get a lot of international visitors coming to Australia for Mardi Gras.
Sure. So anyone can access PEP. When you first go in to access it, you're generally just given a 7-day starter pack and you're asked to come back in a week and I'll do some more tests and give you more of a script then. Not everywhere will give PEP for free. So if you are an overseas visitor, if you call that hotline, they'll be able to direct you to which services you can go to without a Medicare card.
Brilliant.
That's great.
Well, thanks, James, for chatting with us, and hopefully we'll see you out on the party circuit.
Absolutely, or dancing up in the parade.
Do you know what? We'll be able to spot you through the Britney Spears moves that you do.
Yep, I'll bring it.
You'll bring it. It's brung. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're going to play a song, Say I'm Your Number One by Prince.
This is Well, Well, Well. SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au to have your say.
That's right. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. I'm Murray. I'm joined in the studio today with Jesse and Adam. And if you'd like to get involved in the conversation, please do so on 0427 Joy 949 or email us on air at joy.org.au.
And so joining us on the telephone is Dan Stubbs, Director of the Inner City Legal Centre in New South Wales, who specialises in LGBTI legal needs and one of the organisations directly involved with the operation of Fair Play. So welcome, Dan. How are you today?
I'm amazing. I'm well. Good to talk to you.
We'll do that for everyone, Dan.
Oh, jeez, I felt special.
Oh, no, you are special.
I'm having deja vu.
I was going to say, you're going to have to stop saying that, Murray. So, Dan, what is Fair Play?
Fair Play is an initiative that three organisations have developed over the last couple of years. So the Inner City Legal Centre, ACON and Mardi Gras have developed since Mardi Gras 2013 to really, I guess, promote people's rights, keep people safe and assist anyone who has any contact with the police over sort of Mardi Gras events. So we've got volunteers who are outside the events providing information. We've got a really cool website that provides a lot of legal information about what you should do if you're stopped by the police and what they can do. And if you have any interaction with the police, whether you're charged or you're just searched and you're not charged, we want people to come and see us, and we arrange people to get legal advice after the event, not at the party, but you know, the week after that happens, we arrange for people to get some legal advice and to help, you know, work out the best option.
And so you said it started in 2013. So why did it start in 2013? What was specifically significant about that Mardi Gras?
Okay. So as many of the listeners will know, that particular Mardi Gras saw some incidents where police were acting inappropriately, and there were some overzealous, let's say, actions by police where they were taking their role too far, and there were a number of police complaints, and there were many more informal complaints about police that sort of came to different organisations like Mardi Gras about the fact that they felt that police were being too heavy-handed and not being there to protect the community, but sometimes being too heavy-handed against the community. And so, you know, we had a lot of meetings with police and amongst the community. We had a lot of meetings to work out, well, how do we respond to this? How do we make Mardi Gras safe for people? And how do we make the police part of that safety again? And because people were saying some quite extreme things, it was like Mardi Gras 13 was back to 1978. And the outcome of that was a program between the three organisations where We have volunteers who are providing information, like I said, but we're also filming police activities around Mardi Gras. And the 2014 Mardi Gras saw police, I've got to say, respond really, really well.
Yeah.
There was really positive and considerable understanding by police that things need to change, and a whole lot of attitudes changed, a whole lot of training was improved and introduced, and we ended up filming all this interaction with police and the community, and it was much, much better. There's always going to be little problems because it's people don't often like being talked to by the police for whatever reason, but
It sounds like a fantastic initiative, Dan. Now, you said there's volunteers out there. How are they trained in terms of, are they offering legal advice or...?
Sure. Yeah. So they're not actually offering legal advice on the spot. Mm. So they're people from really around the community providing legal information, handing things out. But also, when people have had an interaction with police, we'll just approach them and say, do you want to come and talk to us at the Fair Play tent inside the party? And people often will have an interaction with police outside the party, and we'll be able to walk them in, and we've got a whole sort of tent with, couches and stuff and, coffee and tea making facilities, and we'll just have a sit down and find out what happened. People are often a bit upset after any range of interactions from police, but particularly if they're searched and particularly if they're strip searched.
Yeah, well, because Dan, I actually had Mardi Gras quite a few years ago for myself. I was walking into the party and a drug dog had sat next to me, and I'll preface, I didn't have anything on me.
Right.
But the police officer took me into the tent and it was just the police officer and myself, and he made me strip completely naked.
Yeah.
And I have always wondered since that event whether he had the authority to do that when it was just one police officer.
Well, he has.
He has.
And, the dog has indicated you, and therefore the police on that basis has reasonable suspicion that you may have drugs on you.
Mm.
Unfortunately, the dogs are often wrong, but...
Well, I have to say those poor dogs, their noses are going everywhere with people walking into those parties.
And so, if someone's smoked a joint before the party, they're going to get indicated. There's no avoiding that, and that's the most obvious thing for a dog to pick up.
But they are within their rights to actually take you in with just one officer. I find that interesting.
Well, and see, it is better when they take you, like, with more than one officer, it becomes quite intimidating.
You're naked
and there's more than one officer in there, right? And they do need to take you somewhere private. So although it feels like you're being sort of taken somewhere kind of secret, we don't want to have you strip searched out in the open or in a public toilet or just around the corner somewhere or something like that. It needs to be in a controlled private space. What happened, one of the important changes that happened last year was a level of decision making when a police officer has reasonable suspicion that someone's carrying drugs. They're then going to talk to a senior officer and tell that senior officer, this is the basis of my reasonable suspicion and I think we should search this person. That senior officer will then review that decision and then say, yes, okay, go and search him, or no, I think we'll just question them, or we'll ask to just frisk search them, or turn the pockets out. So there's a bit more judgment coming into play.
That's now. Great. That's a really good outcome.
Yeah, I think so.
Because again, I had nothing on me, so it's good that they're obviously taking that through a level of sort of discussion before they actually go straight to the strip search.
Yeah, but that experience that you had, it does change your night, doesn't it? It really affects people, understandably, and some people just want to go home. And one of the things that we want to do is say, listen, come into the party, sit down, tell us what happened. And particularly if someone's been charged, we might sort of say, listen, we're going to organise some legal advice for you during this week. But for the moment, there's nothing more you can do about this. We're going to talk to you about your legal options during the week. But for now, just forget about it and go and have a great time.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's a good thing about it, too, because there's nothing more you can do about it on that night.
Yeah. That's
so, right. Dan, can you just provide us with a little bit more contact information? So where can people find out more information? Is there a specific place where they can go and find you? And
go to our website, even if you're, you know, in the queue or at a Mardi Gras event or on your way to Sydney or anything, go to our website, fair-play.org.au, and there's a whole lot of information on there. Or go to our Facebook page, which is Your Fair Play, and we've been doing a lot of postings up there at the moment about the sort of information we need people to know about. If you want to talk to any of the fair players, you'll see people around the front of Mardi Gras events giving out the fair play. They're just like little business cards that you can just stick in your pocket with our information on it at the front of the events. Or once, if anyone's coming to a Mardi Gras event, particularly like Harbour or the after party, just inside the front gate, you'll see a big fair play sort of stand and tent there. Come over and say hi.
Yeah, fantastic. And how many volunteers do you have on the ground?
Oh, we've got about 30 volunteers.
Gee, that's impressive.
Working really hard and, you know, all the way through the party, which is fantastic. So, yeah. And they've all attended a full day of training on all the stuff they need to know and all about, you know, filming the police and how to best assist people that have, you know, been through any difficult experience like this.
Fantastic. Well, it sounds like an absolutely fantastic initiative, and we're really glad that it's got off the ground, and obviously you're having quite great success in terms of engaging with the police and with other stakeholders and community members. So I guess we wish you all the best, and hopefully that you don't actually have to engage with anyone this year and everything works out perfectly. But
yes,
the reality is it probably won't be like that. So
right, let's hope for a boring night for fair play.
Exactly.
Just for fair play.
Just for fair play. Well, Dan, look, thank you very much for coming on.
Thanks,
and
Dan.
Obviously we might have to get you back on and sort of see what things might have happened in between now and next Mardi Gras and have a chat about that.
Love to. Thanks, guys.
No worries. This is Well on Joy 94.9. Ah, so this is Well on Joy 94.9. We thought you'd give you a little taste of Closure by Allies there, just as
I got excited. What can I say?
You did. But we've had some messages come through, so we thought we might jump to them and sort of skip the song. So the first message that we got through was from Dimitri, and he says, "Hi guys, is Mardi Gras really worth going to at least once in my gay life, or will it just be another gay event?"
Well, maybe. Sorry, are you gonna go?
Oh no, he did. He had.
Well, how would you two know?
He had.
Exactly.
Because
that's
we've
what
spoken
I was
in.
I was saying maybe Murray has a little bit more authority in this area, doesn't he, Adam?
You have to go. That's
not, he says experience. That's not authority. It's two different things.
No, it's the same thing. Give it to me.
But he also says, P.S., Murray's voice sounds sexy. But Murray, you would obviously recommend then going to Mardi Gras based on your strip searching experience.
Well.
Shut your face. I do recommend Mardi Gras to anyone.
Yeah.
It is an epic event. The parade, you don't have to be a party person. You can just go watch the parade, which is enough in itself. And if you do like to party, you can go on to the big party afterwards. And now they've got parties the day before, the next day.
It's like a whole weekend.
It's a whole weekend. Well, we do know that Mardi Gras is a whole festival, as is Midsummer, but it's the big, it culminates in that big weekend, which
I
is the long weekend.
I definitely want to go at some point in my life.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And the other message we've had through is from Donnie from Dandenong. He said, "Hi team, loving the show and great to hear some ACON and New South Wales content." So, yay, we're also very appreciative that both the guys were able to come on today and have a chat about New South Wales and everything that's happening up there.
Absolutely.
And we've had another message come through from Bazza. This message says, "I got strip searched at a major dance party event and it was humiliating. But he said he was not happy, but the police were very nice."
Mm.
So
well, that's good.
I guess there are reasons and rationales, as you said, Murray, like you had nothing on you, but and the sniffer dogs are not always 100% correct. But obviously,
those poor dogs, if you watch the dogs, they are going left, right and centre. They just, because they're obviously smelling so much stuff, they don't know. And actually, to give context to the story, my friend had got taken into the tent first and I was just waiting for him to come out. So the first time the dog didn't react to me and then the second time it did. So it sort of goes to show that it's not a foolproof method that they use with the dogs. But I actually can't remember a lot of the strip search because I was kind of paralysed by it. So I'd never had that happen to me.
It's true. Well, I wasn't quite sure where you were going.
Same. But are you going to go to Mardi Gras this week, next weekend?
I am, absolutely.
Well,
it didn't deter me.
Well, exactly. And so when is Mardi Gras, actually? The Mardi Gras parade.
It's the 7th, I think.
Yeah, the 7th of March.
Yeah, 7th of March. Yeah, and that's the long weekend,
Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. Are we the only ones that get that?
I don't know. That's a very good question.
Yeah. Anyway, but it works out well.
But other things that are coming up that VAC is involved with is the Chill Out Festival weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on with VAC at Chill Out? Do we know?
Yeah, we've got a presence there. We've obviously got our stall there like we have every year. And we've also got Pronto, who's going to be there.
We've also got a forum that's called Rainbow Families, and we're talking about you know, issues around same-sex families and parenting and things like that. So go and check it out if you guys are up there.
And we'll be talking more in depth about the forum and Chill Out next week on our show.
Well, I think, I mean, I've been to Chill Out before. Have you been to Chill Out before?
I did.
Not quite the same as Mardi Gras, but, you know, that's okay.
It's fun. Laid back.
It is. It's such a laid back, it's a really enjoyable atmosphere.
It's actually a lot of fun, yeah.
And I think because Carnival can be a little bit overwhelming because everybody's everywhere, there's different things, whereas it's more of a community feel. It does have a country vibe, obviously, because it is in the country. But I think if you can go, you should go to Chill Out and check out the VAC stall and get some of our lovely show bags.
Yeah, we always give
prizes.
Away free stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, good stuff.
So I guess for Fair Play information, you would go to www.fair-play.org.au.
Or you can go onto their website, their Facebook page, Your Fair Play.
And for anything related to PEP, if something does go wrong when you're in New South Wales, call 1-800-GET-PEP.
Get PEP. That's a great number.
It is. It's a perfect number.
Easy to remember.
And obviously, if you're wanting to get a rapid test, you can go to endinghiv.org.au/New South Wales, and that brings you up with all the information that you need to know there.
Yeah.
So we want to thank James Gray from ACON and Dan Stubbs, who is from the Legal Centre, part of Fair Play. And, of course, our podcaster, Gaz,
yay,
who's already in the studio ready to podcast it.
And he doesn't even get a round of applause.
Yes, he does.
Oh, yes, he does.
This is Murray, Adam and Jesse, just one of the awesome trios, a part of the Well, Well, Well team at VAC. Take care, everyone. You're listening to Joy 94.9. See you next Tuesday.
Bye, all.
Bye.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.